Welcome to the Bruce Siski Show. Follow the Bruce Siski Show on Twitter to interact anytime. Got something on your mind? You can text Bruce during the show by using the short code 84454. You're listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:12. It is a Tuesday, 19th of March, 2024. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. Good to have you with us today. Clouds, gloom outside, mild but windy, and apparently we got fire and brimstone coming for the weekend. We'll keep you posted throughout the week with Tony Nargi and the team at Northern News. Now, coming up, we'll run through some headlines and play back a couple of highlights from last night's Timberwolves game in Salt Lake City, getting ready for the back-to-back to close out tonight at Target Center versus the Champs. Allen on the call, 7:45 for the pregame here on KDAL. But we'll talk some hockey off the top of the radio show today. Joining us from the Minnesota Wild Radio Network, the nicest man walking the face of the earth, Kevin Faulness. Good morning.
What does fire and brimstone mean? What is happening up there?
We got a snowstorm coming this weekend, so potentially.
No, yeah. It can't be possible. We got ripped off of winter. It doesn't happen on March 18th or whatever, anywhere near that time. That's not right.
Are you new here?
Yeah, I know, but it's not fair. I feel like I was ripped off from winter, at least in the Twin Cities. I don't know what it was like up there.
Same.
I paid for four seasons. I only got three.
Oh, hold on here now. I have a dispute with this because I've never gotten more than two seasons around here, at least. We get summer and winter. That's all we get. We skip fall and spring more often than not.
Yeah, I know. And I don't like it because I don't know about you, but I paid for four seasons. I don't want two. I don't want three. I want four. So give me all four so I can appreciate whatever is coming next.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm the guy at this point in my life, if I could move somewhere it was summer 24/7, 365, I'd be okay with that.
You don't want summer that much.
Yeah, I do.
Spring. I can take 365 days of spring,
okay,
or even 365 days of fall. I don't want all winter. I don't want all summer. But, yeah, too hot is no bueno.
I don't want any winter, so I'm done being cold. I don't need to be cold. They can chill the ice in the hockey arenas. It doesn't need to be cold outside for that.
You're probably right. I only used my snowblower once this year, and I feel ripped off.
That's one more time than I've used mine. And my lawnmower is still sitting in the front of my shed. I haven't switched them out yet, and at this point I'm going to try to hold out and not do it at all.
Good for you. Good power to you.
Yeah, I guess. Question for you. I'm going to the game Saturday against the Blues, and it's an opportunity to wave and say hello to a couple of former Bulldogs that play for St. Louis, and one of those is Scotty Perunovic. How much awareness do you think the general fan has of the nuances of the CBA? Probably none, right?
I'd say probably not a lot.
Because what I want to do is every time Perunovic is on the ice Saturday, start a UFA chant. No one's going to get the joke is the problem.
I don't think so. You know what, but I think you're a lot like me. We're our favorite audience. So I can have a conversation with myself. I can make myself laugh, and as long as that happens. And following your Twitter, you're along the same line, so I'm sure you'll be fine.
I think I'll do all right, yeah. For those that don't know, Scotty Perunovic, if he doesn't get to a certain number of games played this season, will be a Group 6 unrestricted free agent this summer, as opposed to being a restricted free agent this summer. That's the chance the Blues take when they put him in the press box as much as they have this year when he's been healthy. Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, kind enough to get up early because he's got a 9 o'clock game tonight as the Wild are out west to take on the Anaheim Ducks. I know it's a quiet studio back at Excel for you, but how do you get through a game day like this? I've had one 9 o'clock local time game in my life, and I thought I was going to go stir crazy.
First of all, today's not the problem. Tomorrow and the next day will be the problem. My kids don't care what time I go to bed, what time the Wild play, what time the post game wraps up. They're getting up at the same time every day regardless. So today's not the problem. Tomorrow and the next day will be the issue after late starts in Anaheim and L.A. But you get used to it. I actually don't mind the late starts. It gives me a little more time to do my thing, to get ready for the broadcast. And we'll be ready to go. Plenty of time to play with.
The Wild are in a precarious position, but it's not as precarious as it has been at previous points this season. Now the Wild are 5 points back of Vegas for the final playoff spot on the West. Vegas does have a game in hand, but they play twice down the stretch, these two teams do. And there's only one team, the Blues, between the Wild and the Golden Knights and that final playoff spot. So, you know, they've cleaned a few things up, it feels like, Kevin, in their game. It's still far from perfect, but the Wild, at least right now, they've got the proverbial chip in the chair as we head down the stretch.
I mean, they're alive, and that's, you know, there's something to be said for that, because there's been at least three times this season where I think not only me, but everybody's been ready to say they're dead and buried. When they fired Dean Evason, when they had that slump going into the new year, and, of course, all the injuries haven't helped them either. And all that being said, here they are, 5-0-2 in their last seven, coming out of the All-Star break. They've grabbed 27 out of a possible 38 points. And they do have head-to-head direct competition against these teams they're chasing, whether it be the St. Louis Blues, whether it be the Vegas Golden Knights. So, I mean, would I say that it's probable? No. Is it possible? Hell yeah, they can do it. Now it's a matter of just going out there and doing it. To my math, if you got to get to 95, 96 points, unfortunately, they probably got to win 11 of their final 14 games. Again, is it probable? Probably not. Is it possible? Yeah. So now it's one thing for it to be possible. Now prove everybody wrong and go do it.
What was your reaction last Sunday when Marc-Andre Fleury skated toward the bench in a tie game in overtime when the Wild got possession in their zone and they pulled the goalie for the extra attacker? What was your reaction when you first saw it? Did you know about the rule?
Yes. Here's a little secret. Typically, towards the end of regulation, I go down in the studio because my post-game works a lot better from downstairs. So the only way I saw it was watching it on TV and listening to Joe and Tom call it. It struck me right away what was at stake, but I wasn't 100% sure because Joe and Tom weren't sure either. And the way they were describing it, I knew they didn't know. And so that's why I had to double-check my facts to know to see if I had it right. And, yeah, we all find out in the end that if the Predators score into the empty net, the Wild end up with 0 points. Well, fortunately for them, 20 seconds into Marc-Andre Fleury scurrying to the bench and the extra attacker coming out, Matt Boldy scores in overtime. The Wild get both points. And they, again, another way they kept their postseason hopes alive. Just a fantastic night. I mean, what a ballsy move by John Hines to pull that off. To just not only come up with the idea, but then to pull it off and to have the right guys out there on the ice. The stars align that night. And, you know, there's been a handful of crazy, weird games at XL Energy Center this year. That one was probably in the top two.
What struck me was reading the next day about the amount of forethought that was put into it. Like, you know, they had apparently talked about it on the plane back from Colorado that previous Friday. We need points. We can't, you know, we don't want to take a chance, especially against a goaltender like Saros in a shootout that might be a 55-45 proposition and not in our favor against a goaltender of that caliber. So the other thing was they waited until guys like Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi were not on the ice to execute this. You know, you're out there against guys that don't kill penalties, are not known for their defensive prowess, and you got them trapped on the ice in that, you know, 4-on-3 situation. To me, that was really impressive by John Hines. It showed not just a command of his own team, but a command of that situation. They took control there and made sure that it was going to be something advantageous to them, Kevin, and not necessarily as much of a risk as it normally would have been.
Yeah, and there's no way Andrew Brunette and the Nashville Predators saw that coming.
No.
It's a pretty rare occurrence in the history of this overtime format, especially considering what's at stake. But like I said, the stars aligned. They caught him by surprise. They had the right guys out there on ice, and Marc-Andre Fleury and Kirill Kaprizov in particular were on the same page here. Fleury goes to the bench. Well, actually, Kaprizov is the guy that kind of was able to steer that thing because he's got the puck on his stick. He looks back at either Fleury or whoever, nods his head, He goes to the bench. On comes the extra attacker, and now they set up the 4-on-3 power play. And again, a quick pass to Matt Boldy. He finds the back of the net, and everybody goes nuts. So yeah, I mean, and then the best part about this is, I'd say about 80% of the players on that Wild roster had no idea about the rule. Marcus Foligno says, I did not know. He's talking about it in the post game show. So the right guys knew, including John Hines, and I guess that's what matters.
Well, and it takes the pressure off the players. If they know that rule and they know what's at stake and what could happen if they allow an empty net goal, maybe they don't play that situation the same way. So it's probably a good thing they didn't know the rule. Of course, now you lose the element of surprise. Your players know the rule. Other teams know you might do this. So you've got to be pretty picky about when you guys will notice the Wild didn't do this Saturday in St. Louis. You've got to be picky about when you do it because now teams know it might be coming.
But listen to this. This was the next wave of the next generation of this idea. Let's say you get into a battle with either St. Louis or Vegas in the next week or two, and it's tied at the end of regulation.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than get it to the end into overtime where you put those points at stake, pull the goaltender late in regulation with the game tied and try to get both points and give none. Now, that takes it to another level. Again, I don't think you're going to catch anyone by surprise, but if you really want to show that you're going for it and you're ready to put it all on the line, that's the way to put it and take it to the next level.
The time that the situation where I think that might be more likely, Kevin, is if you're in a 4-on-4. Just because if you're 4-on-4 and you pull your goaltender, there's a little less clutter on the ice. That 6-on-5 situation, it's a little bit easier for those seam passes to find a stick when you're 6-on-5 versus 5-on-4.
Well, but again, if you're taking on Vegas on March 30th or on April 12th, and your season's on the line. And one point doesn't do you any good. You've got to get both points, and you've got to make sure they get zero. Again, the scenario is your playoff hopes are on life support. You're in desperate need of CPR, and you get both points and give none. I could see them rolling the dice. They did it once. Again, you're not going to have the element of surprise. Everything has to work out, but if you're on CPR, if you're on life support, that might be your opportunity to give it one last gas.
You got
to
take chances. Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Your impressions so far, Murat Husnadinov.
The debut was unbelievable. Won like 60% of his faceoff. That's something that the Wild need desperate help
right?
in. And Husnadinov was fantastic. He was using his body. He ended up with like 4 block shots. He looked fantastic. Looked the part in game 2. A little bit more nondescript. I mean, it was on the road, so I'll give him a pass on that one. I'm anxious to see what he does in game 3. Now, he's had a little bit of time to work with his new teammates, worked on the PK a little bit yesterday, so we'll see what he does tonight in game 3 of his NHL career going up against the Ducks. Still on the road, but, everybody's pulling for the kid. He's a fantastic sense of humor, great personality. And by the way, he can play some hockey. So the kid can motor, and he's not afraid to use his body when needed.
Besides being a driver of Murat Husnadinov, Kirill Kaprizov's been a driver of this offense here as of late. Nine goals, 13 points in his last 6 games. A 13-game point streak, something like that, up to 76 on the year. After a pretty slow start, Kevin, Kirill Kaprizov has rounded into form very nicely.
I mean, he's with the elite of the elite. I mean, you put him up there with anybody right now, the way he's playing and carrying this squad, it's great to have a game breaker like this on the roster. Not since the days of Marian Gaborik have they had a guy like this, and then to have the 1-2 punch of him and Matt Boldy, just fantastic. The downside right now is you're dealing with Joel Eriksson-Ek, not going to be available in California. The hope is he gets back with the team by the matchup on Saturday against St. Louis. But at one point, those 3 guys were unstoppable. That top line was just putting up gaudy numbers over a nice stretch coming out of the All-Star break. I'd love to get that magic back. You got to get Joel Eriksson-Ek back on the ice. But, I mean, Kaprizov and Boldy have been incredible.
Kaprizov has also become, he kind of, it's kind of the joke about driving Husnadinov everywhere, but he's also a bit of a mentor for this young guy coming in from Russia. It kind of continues this development we've seen from him, not just on the ice, but you guys have seen it off the ice and how he's learned the language. He's more comfortable speaking it, and now he's going to kind of take this young guy under his wing a little bit.
Yeah, I know for Kaprizov, the guys that kind of led the way for him was like a guy like Dmitry Kulikov. And you can say about what you will about Dmitry Kulikov, the player, but off the ice, he was really good for Kirill Kaprizov. Zuccarello was another guy that kind of, you know, held his hand through the formative years here in Minnesota. And now he's paying that forward. I don't think it's, you know, he feels like it's his duty or anything. I think just think he's that cool of a dude that he's going to take a guy, a fellow young countryman, and take him under his wing, and he's going to help guide him through the ins and outs of the National Hockey League. Khustandinov has played some high-level hockey, whether it be on the international stage, whether it be in the KHL, but none of that is the National Hockey League. He's in North America for the first time, playing in the United States in the NHL sheet of ice. Never been associated with, you know, the ins and outs of the daily grind of an NHL schedule. He's being thrown into the deep end in a big way, and his life preserver is in the form of Kirill Kaprizov. So it's fantastic that he's got a guy like that that can help him. He's walked this path in just the very recent memory. What we remember what Kirill Kaprizov was like off the ice just a few years ago. That's the path that Khustandinov is working now, and you know, it's nice to have a guy like Kaprizov leading the way.
A couple more for Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, quick. Brock Faber, the impressive thing to me, amongst the very impressive things that this young man has done this season, is we're going to the game 69 tonight. He hasn't missed a game, knock on wood, but he also hasn't hit the rookie wall. And we hear about that all the time. It is a real thing that happens when you get guys, especially from college, that jump right into the NHL, and it doesn't seem like it's affected him one iota. If anything, he seems to be getting stronger as the season goes on. I got a ticket from that I may have purchased in Iowa that I'm going to cash in if this guy wins the Calder. I don't think that's going to happen anymore because Connor Bedard's caught fire again, Kevin. But how impressive is Brock Faber?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Bedard is he's got the PR machine behind him, and yep, he's the next can't-miss prospect. And you know what? I'm not taking anything away from Connor Bedard. As far as an offensive threat goes, he's the real deal. It's fantastic. But he only plays on half the ice. You know, Brock Faber is doing it on both ends of the ice. He's playing top pair minutes, and he's averaging 25 minutes of ice time. You know, I mean, what he's been able to do, despite the fact Jared Spurgeon's played just 16 games this season. Jonas Brodin has missed big chunks of the year. What Brock Faber has been able to do to stabilize things on the blue line and not miss a beat, it's unbelievable. And, I know Bob Motzko and guys like Pat Micheletti told us that he was going to be the real deal when he went from the University of Minnesota to the National Hockey League. At one point, it looked like he'd go to the Kings, comes to Minnesota in that trade, that fateful trade that sent Fiala to L.A. In comes Brock Faber to a Minnesota Wild uniform, and he's just been fantastic. He won't win the Calder Trophy, but he should. All things considered, I can make a huge argument for why Brock Faber deserves it more than Connor Bedard.
I don't disagree with you. I tend to also agree with you. He's not going to win it because we all know how these things work. The Ducks tonight over on AM 710, 9 o'clock, 8:45 for the coverage. And maybe some higher ratings for you guys tonight because this is an ESPN Plus game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we always love that. You know, it doesn't matter what it is on your television dial. You mute it and you listen to the radio call of Joe O'Donnell and Tom Reed. The Wild just came off a 2-0 win over the Ducks. They're a very bad team. These are those ones you worry about, though. The Wild don't have the ability to look past anyone. If they can hold them to 16 shots again and lock down a 2-0 victory, I guarantee they would take it and make it as boring as possible. But regardless, we got to get these 2 points, figure out how to get past the LA Kings tomorrow night, and then get home for a nice little homestand.
Take care of tonight, figure out tomorrow. Kevin, enjoy tonight. Appreciate it, man.
Bruce, the pleasure's been yours. Goodbye.
As usual, Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, over on AM 710 tonight. It's the Wild and Ducks from Anaheim, 8:45 for the coverage. 10:31, more to come. Bruce Siski Show, Tuesday morning edition, 610, 103.9 KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm in Indianapolis, Indiana, where tonight the Gopher men's basketball team plays a first-round NIT game against the Butler Bulldogs. We'll have a preview next.
How much can you save when you shop Cub? Let's just say you might need a bigger cart. We've lowered prices so you save more. On Essential Every Day, it's easy to see the savings. Across the aisles, from pantry products to frozen foods to delicious dairy and more. Your family will love it, guaranteed, or your money back. Shop Cub and save today. My Cub, my way. See store for details.
Golden Gopher head coach Ben Johnson says the NIT will give his team some valuable experience for the future.
For a team that was picked to finish dead last in the Big Ten, that has a bunch of new parts, to be able to not only get 9 wins in league, but to now be able to play in a legit postseason tournament shows the growth of where we've come, you know, from this last spring, even when that year was over, to summer and obviously what we did this year. And it's a necessary step. I mean, this was always kind of the plan. You know, you want to be in the NCAA tournament, but, you know, this is the next best thing and it's the next right step for our program. And so work to take full advantage of it with the practice times and with the game, but, you know, also just with the expectation of having that postseason mentality. And this gives our guys kind of a feel for, you know, the process of what a postseason looks like. You know, NCAA tournaments, quick turnarounds, right? You find out who you play, you got maybe a couple of days to prepare, and then boom, you're competing. And so it gives you kind of a dry run. But to develop that mentality of playing for something a lot towards the end of the year, I think is a good thing for us.
That's Gopher basketball coach Ben Johnson. Tonight's game tips off at 8 o'clock. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update with the Gopher men's basketball team in Indy. I'm Mike Grimm.
The Bruce Siski Show.
You are literally too stupid to insult. Thank you.
On 610 and FM 103.9 KDAO.
Some headlines to come. Talk about last night's Wolves game. More ridiculousness from Anthony Edwards. As far as we know, he's alive. The guy's just crazy. It's ridiculous how good he is. We'll talk more about that coming up. And get you set for the rest of the week as well. All that to come. CBS News is next, 10:38. Bruce Siski Show, Tuesday morning edition, 610, 103.9 KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
You know what? I didn't want to play this card. Certainly not this early. But guess what? Guess who's got the Subaru Impreza? Me. Guess who's got all the money? Me. Guess who's got a winning personality? Me. What do you have? You have a nice hairline. Fine. You have a strong jaw. Fine. But I got to tell you something, mister. Your personality needs some work.
On 610 and FM 103.9 KDAO.
10:43. Didn't realize you're running that late. Tomorrow, Sam Littman with the Duluth Wolfpack Youth Lacrosse Program. They've got an open house tomorrow. We will talk about that and how you can get the kidlets involved in the wonderful sport of youth lacrosse. That'll be tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Dave Starman, CBS Sports Network. We will preview this weekend's NCHC Frozen Faceoff happening at Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul Friday and Saturday. And then Thursday, Pat Micheletti. We'll talk a little while with Pat. Also, Pat's going to be en route to Bemidji on Thursday. He and my friend Ben Holden are doing the webcast for Flow Hockey of the CCHA Mason Cup Championship, Michigan Tech and Bemidji State for a spot in the NCAA tournament on Friday. So Pat will join us on Thursday. Also coming up, Matthew Caller, Purple Insider. We'll have Alan Horton, Timberwolves Radio Network in the coming days as we kind of get back into some degree of normalcy around here after it feels like I've been gone for months on end. It's just ridiculous. I know I've been here. It feels like I've been gone. So I appreciate Dave for helping out, and we'll be here for the most part here now for a while, and try to get some interesting content for you in the radio show each and every weekday. Last night, he did it again. And by he, I mean, you know, Anthony Edwards, that guy. I compared him to Kenny from South Park. It feels like every game now Anthony Edwards does something we all think he's dead, and then he just gets up and keeps playing in the game. Here's what last night was.
sort of big. Oh, Nikhil reached in on Keyonte George and turned him over. It's another Keyonte George turnover. And goes up for the dunk, and Thunder slams it in traffic over John Collins. And Ant may have hurt his left hand. He comes right to the bench. That was sick. He took off, launching himself to the iron. Collins is down.
That was Alan Horton, Timberwolves Radio Network. So Collins suffered a head contusion on the play. Anthony Edwards mangled one of his left fingers. And if you watch it, you can see Kyle Anderson react. And the question is Kyle Anderson in absolute shock over what Anthony Edwards has just accomplished? Or is he in absolute shock because he saw a dislocated finger? Either one's a possibility. Maybe we'll get some clarification from Slow-Mo Anderson here at some point in the next couple of days, maybe before or after tonight's game against Denver. By the way, Ant hit 30 again.
Timberwolves have the ball with 1:57 left to play. They lead by six. Kyle with it. Oh, nearly lost it. Gets it off to Anthony Edwards. Top of the key. Ant rises. Free throw line. Jumper hits it. He is money. A monster. Fourth quarter with 11 points. He's 5 of 5 shooting. He's got 23 in the second half. He's got 30 for the game. His third straight 30-point game.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards is on one right now, and it's probably not a coincidence that this is happening with Karl-Anthony Towns out indefinitely, that he has kind of taken the bull by the horns, and he's asserted himself as the alpha on this team because it's almost out of necessity, right? You're missing Towns, who is a big, big part of what this group's going to accomplish, I think, down the stretch. And Edwards, like stars do, when you're in that type of a pickle, you're in these tough road environments, he raises his level of play. And it's just been special to watch him continue to grow in that type of a role with this team. So three straight 30-point games, 27 30-point games on the season. That is the Timberwolves franchise record. Oh, by the way, no Towns last night, also no Rudy Gobert because of a rib injury. So we'll see if either is available tonight. Well, Towns won't be, sorry. We'll see if Gobert is available tonight. We'll see if Edwards is still good to go tonight for that 8 o'clock game against the Nuggets. It's a big game for the Wolves because they're on the verge here of clinching a tiebreaker against Oklahoma City, because remember, those two teams split their four-game season series. A Wolves win tonight puts the Wolves in very good position to clinch the tiebreaker against Oklahoma City. And what that would mean, obviously, is if those two teams end up with the same record, the Wolves get the higher seed. And we'll see if they can do the same thing with Denver as they go down the stretch. They're going to play one more time here before the regular season is done. That'll be in Denver, I think, next week to close out their regular season series. So Oak City right now, 47-20. The Wolves and Nuggets are both 47-21 at the tightly packed top of the Western Conference standings. The Clippers are 5 back of Oak City. New Orleans is 6 back. Sacramento's 8 back. Your play-in tournament right now is Dallas, Phoenix, the Lakers, and Golden State. But Dallas and Phoenix in a flat-footed tie, only half a game back of Sacramento for 6th in the Western Conference. And the race at the bottom is not as interesting. Houston is at 11th, 3 back of Golden State for 10th. So I don't necessarily like anybody's chances of catching any of the teams that are currently in the field for the play-in tournament. So the Wolves, if they'd like to play, face a team out of the play-in tournament, got to finish in the top two. Right now, they're second. All tied for second with Denver. So these are big games coming up with the Nuggets this week and next. Tonight at Target Center, again, pregame at 7:45, and then they will meet again. I'm going to look it up to make sure I get the date right. I want to say it's next weekend. Next Friday night, the 29th, they're going to meet in Denver. And that'll also be a massive game for the Wolves. But they got to get through this one first. Got a bunch of home games coming up. They got the Nuggets tonight. Then the Cavaliers on Friday. Golden State Sunday. the Pistons next Wednesday. So a four-game homestand here for the Wolves and some pivotal games in that Western Conference race. By the way, over in the East, Milwaukee 10 back of Boston for the top spot in the East. They ain't catching the Celtics. They do face them tomorrow night in Boston. But the race is for second. And again, you know, finish second and you get a team out of the play-in tournament. That's what the Bucks are going for here. Right now, sitting at number two, one game up on third place. Cleveland, a three up on New York in fourth, four up on Orlando in fifth. They got Philadelphia right now in sixth, of course, missing Embiid, and they have fallen quite a bit here as of late. Then Indiana, Miami, Chicago, and Atlanta currently the field for the play-in tournament. And Brooklyn in 11th is four back of the 10th place Hawks. So just like in the West, not expecting a lot of movement as far as who's actually in the field for the play-in tournament slash NBA playoffs. Wolves and Nuggets tonight. Looking forward to that one at 8 o'clock here on KDAL. 10:50. Wrap it up on a Tuesday in a moment. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL.
KDAL.
That's pretty much my news.
Streaming live on the KDAL mobile app.
10:59. Clouds, breeze outside. With snow coming for the weekend. More on that to come throughout the rest of the week. Also tomorrow, Dave Starman, CBS Sports Network on the NCHC Frozen Faceoff, which is this weekend in St. Paul. We'll preview that. And Sam Lippman from the Duluth Wolfpack Youth Lacrosse Program on their big open house event as the spring sports season approaches. Sound off with Brad Bennett. Coming up next, have a great Tuesday. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.